feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Does it ever seem to you like you are constantly in a war? Do you sometimes feel like the battle never ends? Well, part of the reason that it may seem that way is because it's true. On our last program, we began a study in 1 Samuel 30 where David was fighting against the Amalekites. We saw that the Amalekites in the Bible are a picture of our flesh, our sinful tendency, and we are always warring against that. In David's case, the Amalekites raided his hometown of Ziklag and took all their possessions and all their families. But we know how the story ends. Verse 18 tells us that David recovered all. John began telling us four reasons why David and his men were able to recover all. These are important steps for us to understand when we seek to recover that which has been lost by our sinful ways or taken by the enemy. The first step is that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let's now join Pastor John as he is talking about this point.
I can talk to my soul. Soul, bless the Lord. Soul, hope in God. I will praise Him. I encouraged myself in the Lord. It's such a key. Isaiah chapter 61 tells you, when you feel like your city's burned out, He gives beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is such a key. When I get news like this, when I hear things like I do, like you do as well in your situations too, I have found the first thing I must do if I'm going to recover, I must encourage myself in the Lord. How? By thanking Him for the way He's been so faithful, in this case, to us for the past 25 years. The way He's been there time and again, seen us through over and over, I begin to reflect on, remember, and I begin to talk to the Lord verbally, audibly, giving Him thanks for what He has done. How good He has been. I count my blessings. Little Tommy, well, you see, he didn't understand. His mommy said, Tommy, you're going to have a baby brother or a baby sister. Oh boy, he was thrilled. Tommy was a kindergartner. And each day he went to his class and told his teacher, every day without fail, I'm going to have a baby brother or a baby sister. This went on for weeks, for months. One day, his mommy said, Tommy, come here, and took his hand and placed his hand on her stomach. Feel that? Tommy said, yeah. That's your baby brother or baby sister in there. He or she is kicking. Feel that? And Tommy felt it and looked at his mother and smiled rather faintly, walked away into the room. Next day, he went to school. Didn't mention to his teacher that he's going to have a baby sister or a baby brother. Nor did he bring it up the second day, nor the third, nor the fourth, nor the fifth. Finally, after a couple of weeks, the teacher said, Tommy, you haven't talked about the baby that's coming. And Tommy burst into tears. The baby's not coming. My mommy ate it. He didn't understand. He didn't get it. Little Tommy was distressed and blue, just like me, just like you. We don't get it. We think, oh, this is awful. I can't believe it. But in reality, God is up to something. You watch, you'll see. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. The second thing he did, and I will speed it up, but the second thing he did after he encouraged himself in the Lord, number two, he inquired of the Lord. Verse 7, it says, David said to the priest, Abiathar, bring me the ephod. The ephod was a vesture worn that would help determine God's will. The high priest had that ephod in his possession. Bring the ephod to me. Verse 8, then David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, after the Amalekites? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered, pursue. First, he encouraged himself in the Lord, verse 6, last phrase. Then he inquired of the Lord, verse 8. David said, what do you now want me to do, Lord? I'm encouraged in you. I'm not depressed or discouraged or feeling blue like I was a little while ago. Now, Lord, I'm coming before you. I'm inquiring of you. What do you want me to do? That's step number two. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord answered David directly and quickly. You see, I like this. You see, what happened with me on Saturday morning, yesterday morning, was after being encouraged in the Lord on Friday night, on Saturday morning, I once more got a cup of coffee and my Bible and went for a walk through Jacksonville and talked to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? And right away, he began to put some things on my heart. He began to put some things in my mind. For me personally, in light of these things. And I want to tell you something. Listen carefully. Just like God answered directly and specifically and quickly, so too will God do with you. Listen, it doesn't take as much as you think. Satan will say, so you want to hear from the Lord? That's going to require 3 hours of constant prayer, or 3 days of fasting, or 3 weeks of getting away. Satan will say, you only have 30 minutes? God's not going to hear you. Why should he answer you? You only have 10 minutes? Forget about it. You only have 3 minutes? You got to be kidding me, Satan will say. God's not going to give you direction. He's not going to answer you in a 3-minute prayer. No way. Well, I challenge that. Ask Peter, the fisherman, the apostle. He was on the Sea of Galilee, and he began to sink. You know the story. He had been walking on the water, but now he was sinking down quickly. He didn't pray for 3 days or 3 months or even 3 hours or even 3 minutes. He prayed 3 words, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, okay. And grabbed him by the hand and pulled him out of the water that day and put him back in the boat again. And I'm telling you the truth, precious people. Satan will say, it takes a lot more. That's not enough. Listen, Jesus said, do not think that you're going to be heard because of your much speaking, your long praying. That's a pagan, a heathen concept, Jesus said. When you pray, be simple, be short, be specific. David was in this day. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, Lord, should I pursue him? The Lord said immediately, go get him. Number three. After he encouraged himself in the Lord, inquired of the Lord, he was engaged with the Lord. He didn't just stay there in his cave of depression or despondency. He didn't simply sit on the rock after he encouraged himself and inquired of the Lord, you see. What should I do? The Lord says, get up, get on your horse, and get going. Pursue, pursue, pursue. First there's praise, and then there's prayer, and then there's pursuit, you see. This is what you need to do. Go get them. I have this saying I've told you about for many years. It's written on my desk at home. It simply says this. Without him, I can't. But without me, he won't. I need to be engaged in steps of faith. See, a lot of times people just sit back and say, well, if you want the stuff that was ripped off to come my way, then Lord, have it come. Bring it to me. The Lord says, no. Join with me and go get it. Take a step of faith. Go for it, you see. I'll be with you and I'll fight for you. But I want you to be engaged with me. I want you to be partnering, you see. I don't want you passive, where you just sit and moan and groan. I want you to be engaged in your spirit, in your soul, because I, God would say, want to prepare you for eternity. David, pursue. Get on your horse. Do what you can do. Go after them, you see. That's what faith is. Concerning Jesus, it said that when he went there into his hometown, he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. They didn't take steps of faith. They didn't have a heart of expectancy. They weren't engaged with the Lord, but they were just sitting there skeptical about the Lord. So no mighty work was done there. Get going, David. That's what God's word to David that day. Don't just sit there like a bump on a log. Take steps of faith. I'll be with you. Pursue them, David. Let's go. Just like God would say to another guy that was depressed and despairing one day. He wanted to die. His name, Elijah. He was in a cave, literally, physically, down at Mount Sinai. He was there, holed up, hiding out, feeling blue. Nobody else serves you, God. Nobody else follows after you. It's just me. Nobody else appreciates who I am or what I do. God said, Elijah, what are you doing here in this cave? What are you? You know better than this. What are you doing here, Elijah? You know better than this. Why are you in this cave of depression? He said, I want you to go up to Syria, and I want you to appoint a new king up there, and I want you to go into Israel, and I want you to raise up a new leader for them there. And I want you to go find a young guy by the name of Elijah. And I want you to mentor him and disciple him and raise him up to take your place. And by the way, God went on to say, right below you in the valley, there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal, the idol. 7,000 down there that love me and know me. So quit your pity party and get going. And that's what the Lord would often say to us. Why are you in this cave of despondency? You know better than that. Start moving. Get going. Disciple, encourage, pray for, help out. Do what you know, and you'll know what to do. Do what you know, and you'll know what to do. Pursue, pursue, pursue. That was the word that came to David that day. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He was engaged with the Lord. He was on his way. And finally, the last thing we see, David then makes his way, having been encouraged, having already inquired, and now being engaged. Well, the story goes on quickly. They found a young man, an Egyptian, who used to be a servant of an Amalekite who was left there in the wilderness to die. And David said, hey, do you know where your master is, where the Amalekites are? Can you take me to them? And the Egyptian said, as he looked at David and his 600 men, okay, I'll take you to him, but you got to promise you won't kill me. David said, you have my word. So this Egyptian, found there in the desert, led David and his guys to where the Amalekites were hiding away. As they make their way, David arrives there. The Egyptian led them, verse 16 tells us. And when he, the Egyptian, had brought them down, David and his men, behold, the Amalekites spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. They were partying. All the Amalekites, because they took all this stuff, they spoiled lots of cities and people, including those at Ziklag too. They were eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah, Ziklag as well. Well, verse 17, David sees those guys down there. David and his boys unsheathed their swords, and they smote them from twilight even to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of the Amalekites, except 400 young guys who rode upon camels and fled away. Now, when you say, except 400, What do you mean nobody escaped except 400? I mean, that's a big escape. Unless there were thousands and thousands of Amalekites that were killed. And that's what happened. Thousands were killed. 400 escaped. They got on camels and rode away. But the slaughter was great. That's the idea. The slaughter was great. David and his boys, because David encouraged himself, had he not done that, he would simply be sulking off the pages of the scriptures. He would disappear from the story. Did you know if David didn't encourage himself, we wouldn't be talking about him tonight. He wouldn't be in this book. He would have given up, walked away. But he encouraged himself that day. And then he inquired of the Lord. And then he engaged himself with the Lord. And now he's being used in a mighty way. With just 600 men, he takes on all the Amalekites, all of them. In fact, it wasn't even 600. For you see, 200 of David's 600 were too faint to engage in the battle. And they stayed behind at the supply depot. They stayed behind to watch the stuff or to watch the supplies. And that leads me to my fourth and final point, and we'll be through. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He was engaged with the Lord, and he was inspired by the Lord. How so? After David won the battle with 400 that were with him, 200 were left behind at the supply depot, guarding the supply lines, if you would. It says, when they took all this stuff, for David, verse 18, recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David also rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking, neither small nor great, sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that the Amalekites had taken. David recovered all. Then, verse 21, David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David into the battle, whom they also made to abide at the brook Besor, watching the supplies. Well, these 200 guys that stayed behind, they went out to meet David when David and his boys came back victoriously. And David, when he saw them, saluted them, these 200 guys. But, verse 22, the wicked men, the foolish men, the men of Belial, who were with David's fellas, who were a part of David's 400. Some were really dumb here in what they would think and what they would say. For they said concerning the 200 that watched the supplies, hey, because they went not with us to the front lines, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except every man can have his wife and his kids, that they may lead them away and depart and get out of here. Those 200 guys that watched the supplies, they're not getting a part of the spoil. They're not getting a cut of the take. They're not going to get a reward like the rest of us do. The rest of us are. They didn't come to the front lines. They're not going to get a piece of the pie. Oh, they can have their wives and their kids and get out of here. And David heard those guys. David said, no, you shall not do so, verse 23, my brothers, with that which the Lord hath given us. It was the Lord who preserved us. It was the Lord that delivered the company that came out against us into our hand. Who's going to hearken to you in this matter? But as, watch this, verse 24, as his part is that goes down to the battle, so shall his part or his share be that tarried by the stuff. They shall part alike. They shall split the goods equally. Verse 25, and it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. David was inspired here. Listen carefully. The warriors, the 400 that fought in the battle in the front line, said, we're not giving these 200 anything. David said, no, they're getting an equal share in the spoil. Because the guys that watch the supplies, they are just as important as the fellas in the front line, you see. You might not be on the platform or front and center, but you know what? Those that are in the prayer force, keeping the supply lines going through intercession, through prayer, or financial giving. And some of you guys have been blessed with good jobs and you make money. He's spoiled you, quite frankly. He's given you a big share of his spoil. And what you've done is said, I'm going to share that. I'm going to keep that in the supply line. I'm going to make sure that the victory is won. The supplies are there. See, in heaven, one day, we'll soon be there. Our captain, the son of David, the greater than David, will say, you get an equal share. Not just Billy Graham preaching in the stadium, but the people that prayed for him and supported that financially. Every soul that's saved, every victory that's won, hey, the guys that were in the supply line get an equal share. I promise you this, heaven is going to be full of delightful surprises. When people that nobody really knew of or heard about, but they were in the supply line. Maybe they couldn't go to the front lines for reasons that they know, that God understands. But they could be in the supply lines, and they did so faithfully. David was inspired by the Lord when he said, this is the way it's going to be from here on forevermore. Those that stay with the stuff, that is, keep the supply lines going and open and functioning, will have an equal part, an equal share with the ones that are in the front line, you see. That's God's economy. David, the story ends gloriously. Everything that was ripped off has been recovered. And listen, more. They got back more than they had lost. Amazing. That's God's heart for you. God's plan for me. I really believe that to be true. When the Amalekites attack, when the enemy has been on the war path, coming against us, trying to rip you off or take us down, know this. God's plan is that all that seems to be lost, all that seems to be carried away, will be recovered, and even more. One day. How? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Then inquire of the Lord, what should I do? He'll tell you, I guarantee. Then engage yourself. Pursue. Don't be passive. Take a step of faith. Watch what he'll do. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But through faith, great things can be and will be done. And then inspiration. It's true. Lord, I know, inspired by your spirit, that it's people on the supply line that have been interceding, that have been giving, that have been working behind the scenes. They're a real key in the restoration of what was ripped off and taken away. You sit under the shade because somebody else planted a tree. That's the way it is in life. Somebody else was doing some work at some time. Planting a tree that allows you to be in the shade, the same is true for me. Lord, thank you for those on the supply lines. Reward them, Lord. He will. You'll see.
God has called us all to different positions in His body. If you are called to be on the supply line, rejoice. God will reward you equally for your prayers or financial assistance or whatever else He has you contribute to the battle. And most importantly, know that the victory is already won. Like we saw in David's case, all is recovered and more.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
In addition to hearing good Bible teachings, it is also helpful to read of God's love, grace, mercy, and truth. For this reason, we have made available the John Corson Application Commentary Set. There are three volumes of these written commentaries, two covering the Old Testament and one covering the New Testament. The commentaries are based on John's teachings, so they contain the same insightful and practical Bible studies you hear on the Searchlight radio program. If you would like to order any or all of these commentaries, you can do so through the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.